Our third case of the morning is number 06-1808, the United States against Kelly.
May it please the court, Nathaniel K. Jr. of Michael Best and Friedrich appearing on behalf of the defendant, Vernell Kelly. There are two points that I wanted to raise, especially that were briefed in the addressed in the brief, but I think are sufficient here. The first is the evidence was not sufficient to convict Mr. Kelly on count two. Count two was the charge of having drugs on his possession, specifically crack cocaine. There's no dispute, and we did not appeal the issue that he had drugs on his person. The only issue is whether he had crack cocaine. The government concedes that Agent Coulton could not state the drugs were crack. The only thing he could state was, if they were the exact same as in count three, they must be crack. Except there is no evidence that they were the exact same. The only person who testified was a government witness, Kimberly Blood. And the only thing she stated was, or she never stated that the two sets of drugs had the exact same appearance. All she said was before she crushed the drugs that were in count two, they were rock-like in appearance. But she never stated they were the exact same, that she looked at both sets of drugs in count two and count three and said, or I'm sorry, government exhibits five and six, that they were the exact same. The other thing that Agent Coulton...
What was this stuff that she put in the envelope marked 5B? I was under the impression that she had actually divided up the original drugs that made up Exhibit 5, crushed up some of it, and retained some. Is that not right?
She did, Your Honor, but the drugs that were in 5 that the government put on said these were the drugs that she weighed, she tested.
Right, but didn't she say... I mean, you could believe her or not, but I thought... And again, you know, maybe I'm misunderstanding the record, but I thought there was an amount of drugs. She divides them, puts some in 5B, and doesn't do anything with them, so they retain their original appearance, and she crushes the others in the other bag so that they don't look, you know, lumpy and rocky and stuff anymore. They're now crushed up.
I'm not sure of that, Your Honor. I know there it's mentioned in the record, and I could find the site on my rebuttal and address that with the court. But the other point is, not only did she not say they were the exact same, but I think the major error there was Agent Coulton specifically said to the jury, he said, the lab report indicates that this exhibit contained cocaine base. Cocaine base is a form of crack cocaine. That's wrong. It should be crack cocaine is a form of cocaine base.
So he said it the other way around.
Right. So now if you're on a jury and you've got this expert up there who says cocaine base is a form of crack cocaine, what are you going to say? Well, it must be crack cocaine. If he had said it the other way, then it would have been up to them to prove that the drugs in 5 were the exact same in the drugs in 6. But they
didn't
do that.
But there was a lot of evidence that this was, in fact, not just cocaine base, but the crack cocaine form of cocaine base.
Well, the only other evidence was Mr. Kelly allegedly saying
he doesn't know about
the rocks.
These
but he didn't say which rocks.
Rocks.
But which rocks, Judge? The Exhibit 5 or the Exhibit 6, there was no indication whether it was the drugs on his person or the drugs found in the home. And the fact that Mr. Kelly
wouldn't you think, though, the drugs in the home, since he's trying at that point when he makes the statement to exonerate his girlfriend, and since essentially he's saying the girlfriend doesn't know about my gun and my rocks, and so that seems logically a jury could infer that means it's the ones in the home.
Logically, that's possible, Your Honor, but just the fact that he believed them to be crack cocaine does not necessarily mean that, in fact, they are crack cocaine. I mean, people are often ripped off saying, here's powder cocaine, and it's baby powder, and they don't know the difference because their subjective belief of what it is doesn't mean that it, in fact, was crack cocaine. You know, Mr. Kelly did have cocaine base on him. We don't dispute that. We just dispute the fact that it was crack cocaine. And, in fact, we don't know what definition Special Agent Coulton relied upon in determining when he said that the cocaine base was, in fact, crack cocaine, what was on his person. We don't know if he was relying on the sentencing guidelines. We don't know if he was relying solely on the criminal report.
But he had expertise in this area. You know, and we've been through this crack cocaine, you know, of various types of cocaine base so many times. And it's a practical assessment in the end. I mean, it's like... You couldn't find a chemical difference between ice and water, but most of us can tell the difference between an ice cube and a glass of water. They are, in fact, chemically identical, but they appear different. And the same is true of crack cocaine in its various forms. There might be other pastes or other kinds of cocaine base, but crack is a identifiable type.
But the only difference, Your Honor, is the federal government does not penalize the difference between ice and water. And
that is the problem,
right,
isn't it?
They've penalized crack cocaine. So in essence, what the government wants you to do is saying, believe us, it's crack. There's no doubt. He admits it was cocaine based on his person. But there's no evidence that it was crack cocaine. That's the distinction. Mr. Kelly is facing much more in terms of jail time simply because Agent Coulton doesn't state the basis on which, you know, he made the determination, whether it was the guidelines or something else he relied on. He just said, it's my experience. And with regards to what was on his person, he never said, I looked at Exhibit 5B and I looked at 6 and they're the exact same. He was dealing with Exhibit 5 versus Exhibit 6, and he was given a hypothetical for Exhibit 5. If it looked exactly the same, and if it had the same composition, and if it had this, what would you say? I would say it's crack cocaine. But the point was, there was never the testimony from Kimberly Blood or anyone else that when she took 5 and 6 and put them next to each other, they were the exact same before she crushed. The other point I wanted to raise on appeal is that Mr. Kelly did not possess the guns or drugs found at the girlfriend's apartment. What's striking here is that you have the roommate saying, well, I saw Vernell Kelly at the apartment. But she never said, I saw him at 10 o'clock at night or 6 a.m. Just in the mornings when she got home, he was there. Well, both Mr. Kelly and Miss Washington, Betsy Washington's girlfriend, had a child together. And he said, every morning I took her to school. But there was no evidence that he ever spent the night there or that he resided there. And as I raised in my brief, there were no male toiletries found, or at least none described. If someone's spending the night there, you would expect to find some male clothes, something.
But you might be asking the wrong question, because certainly, first of all, there was a lot of evidence before the jury, both of Mr. Kelly's theory and also of the government's theory, that he had a fairly significant association with this apartment. There's mail to him. There's the Social Security Administration sending him things there. He's there a lot. The neighbors testify he's there. He himself refers to his gun and rock there and the like. And so the question for us is constructive possession, and I don't know why, whether there are male toiletries there or not really tells us anything much about constructive possession. He certainly has a strong association such that he's keeping things of his there, including the gun.
Well, but that's the point. Is he keeping the gun and rocks there? And the association, Your Honor, constructive possession would be that he actually had something to control the apartment.
He had keys.
Right. He had Miss Washington's keys.
Well, the jury could have believed he had the keys, right? The jury didn't have to believe that he only temporarily had the keys for a little while, even though that might have been enough, perhaps. But he certainly had the ability to control what was inside the apartment, right?
Well, I don't think he had the ability to control what was in the apartment, because the other thing we don't know is they said they found the gun in the bedroom where Miss Washington resides in a basket of clothes. Well, was it a basket of children's clothes? Was it a basket of female clothes? We don't know how he could, just because they found it in a basket where she is, that means that he had the ability to control the gun simply because he's associated with being with that gun. It's no different, Your Honor, than in the case of Wyndham.
But it wasn't in a locked, you know, little safe that she had or something like that. It was readily available. If you walked into that room that she used, there it was. Maybe in some clothes, but I mean not in, in some way that you couldn't get at it.
Well, Your Honor, I still think that the association with the apartment is tenuous at best. For example, the government relies on the fact that there were three pieces of mail. And I thought, how do I address that to the court? And I know I briefly touched this, but I'm not sure if Your Honor has any children who are adults who have moved out of the house. You may still receive mail. I know I bought a home from the original owner in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I still not only get her mail, I still get mail from her 60-year-old son who hasn't lived in that house in 30 years, credit card applications. Well, just the fact that there's a piece of mail there does not mean that someone necessarily resides there, that just because it's delivered there.
These were Nextel bills in a Social Security Administration.
Right, but the Nextel bills, Your Honor, were being paid while Mr. Kelly was incarcerated. As he said, it's her phone. It's Miss Washington's phone. She took care of paying it. I don't know if it was a credit issue and she couldn't get one in her name, but he said it's her phone. And the fact that it was being paid while he was incarcerated, there was testimony to that.
But the jury might have believed that, but did they have to believe that? That's
Well, I think what the jury heard, and I think it's first of the hearing on count two, the drugs in his person. Well, cocaine base is a form of crack. Therefore, they assume he had crack. Then they're saying, well, there was crack in the apartment. It must be his crack. But if there was no evidence he had crack on his person, would the jury necessarily have believed that the crack in the apartment was his? Plus, we have the issue that they're way different purities. So the fact that you're associating saying, you know, it's the if it was the exact same purity, Your Honor, I don't think we'd have an argument. But the fact that you have a 9% change in purity, that's a pretty big difference. We're not talking one or two. 81% pure versus 90% pure. So the
What about his little blue stars?
Well, the problem with the little blue stars, Your Honor, no one testified. All they said is the packing was similar. No one said it's the exact same bag. We tested the bag. It has the exact same characteristics. It's the exact same size. There was no testimony of that. It's just one had little blue stars. The other one had little blue stars. There is evidence in the record there were several people other than the two women and the child that resided at the apartment that Ms. Washington did have other males coming by. All we know is a confidential informant said Mr. Kelly would be driving to a location selling drugs, and that same informant said there would be drugs in the home. One could surmise that it could be one of Ms. Washington's other boyfriends who, in fact, did that. But the point is the drugs are different purity, meaning they came from a different source. So the only thing the jury hears is he's got crack cocaine on his person. He must have had the crack cocaine back at her Ms. Washington's apartment. But it wasn't crack cocaine because they didn't prove that as beyond a reasonable doubt. There was a wrong inference. So I see my time is up for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cade. We'll hear now from Ms. Tribde.
May it please the Court, my name is Kruthi Trivedi and I represent the United States. Today I ask you to affirm the conviction and the sentence of Defendant Vernell Kelly. Let's start by talking about the sufficiency of evidence. There was sufficient evidence in this case to convict Mr. Kelly with possessing both the gun and the drugs, the crack cocaine, that were found at 3309 West Warren in the basement apartment. To begin with, we have the defendant's own words. When he's arrested, he gives 3309 West Warren, the basement apartment, as his address. Later, when he's asked about the crack and the drugs, he admits that they're his, and as you mentioned, Judge, he says that in an attempt perhaps to protect his girlfriend, that she doesn't know anything about his gun and his rocks, rocks being crack. With respect to the rocks themselves, the crack, as you mentioned, they do have the same unique identification as the drugs that are found on Mr. Kelly's person right before he's arrested. He has the drugs, he throws the drugs, the police officers retrieve the drugs at the corner of Holman and Carroll. What they notice is that the drugs have these little blue star markings on them. The blue stars, they say, are unique. Now, it's true that there's testimony in the record that drug dealers often identify their crack. They brand it. I think there's testimony in the record talking about things like devils that are used to describe certain brands of crack. The blue star is a brand. And as the record establishes, it's a unique brand. The officers haven't seen the blue star before they see Mr. Kelly throw the bag at Homan and Carroll. They see those blue stars again when they get to the basement apartment at 3309 West Warren. It's a unique form of branding, the branding itself being more general and used by crack dealers. As for the gun, Mr. Kelly says that...
Before we move on to the gun, I wondered if you could address... Exhibit 5, because it seems that this was handled quite carelessly. No one seems to have taken a picture of it before the crushing happens. Nobody seems to have in any way preserved the original appearance of that, even if some of it needed to be crushed up for testing purposes. What kind of confidence can we have that maybe he wasn't in a couple of... A lot of people sell different kinds of drugs. A lot of people will sell crack and marijuana, they'll sell crack and powder, they'll sell crack and any number of other things. So how can we be confident that Exhibit 5 is also crack?
Your Honor, there are a couple different ways that we can tell that Exhibit 5 was crack. The first, the chemist herself, Ms. Blood, says, you know, before I ground it up, it was in this chunky substance like crack. In addition to that, however, we have the testimony of the officers when they recover the drugs. When they recover the drugs, Ms. Lipsy, I think she changes her name perhaps to Mitchell at some point through the proceedings, but she goes and she retrieves them. And she looks at them, and when she describes them, she thinks she's found crack. She's found narcotics. She takes the drugs, alerts the other officers of the crack, and then they arrest Mr. Kelly. She describes the substance as chunky, I think, and she says off-white. In addition to that, Your Honor, when Ms. Lipsy Mitchell is on the stand, she's talking about the drugs, and she said that when they were recovered, they looked like Exhibit 6, a white, chunky substance that I think maybe it's in the transcript around page 181. But she's linking the drugs, and she's saying, you know, these look like what was recovered when the drugs you see look like the drugs that I recovered. So we do have these different pieces of evidence saying that when it was recovered, it was in this chunky form. In addition, we have, again, defendant's own words about the rocks that are recovered from Homan and Carroll. It's the language of crack that he uses throughout here, and I think if that answers your question, Judge.
Yeah, I mean, as Mr. Cade points out, he could easily be talking about his rocks, quote-unquote, and not necessarily be talking about what's in every single bag in the apartment. I mean, I don't know why we would assume that, actually.
Because, Your Honor, they're packaged in these little jeweler's bags. They're jeweler's bags. They're tiny. They're really little Ziploc bags. They're the kind of bags that you see crack sold in. And the testimony at trial says, you know, the packaging, this is crack packaging. He has a larger Ziploc bag that he pulls from the back of his pants pocket and sort of pitches. First, he does a transaction. He puts the bag back in his back pocket. Then he takes it out and he pitches it when he suspects that, and he's right, that the officers are coming. Inside are these tiny plastic bags. They're the bags used in the crack trade. It's the kind of packaging that's used, and the identification, again, they talk about it's the kind of identification crack dealers use when they're trying to say, this is my crack, as opposed to, you know, that other guy you bought from last week.
People just, like, draw the stars on with a Marxalot, or what do they do?
Your Honor, I'm afraid I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay, so essentially all we have to go on for Exhibit 5 is just the testimony about the chain of custody is what you're saying, so that's all right.
In addition to that, Agent Calton, what he talks about, and I think what he's saying with regards to the drugs that are found on the ground, he's pretty straightforward about it. He says, you know, we do have that chemical report saying that it's cocaine-based. We have some other information about it. We have the packaging, the branding, all the stuff we just talked about. And he says, and it's been ground up. So, yes, in this case, I don't think I can say that it's crack based on the physical appearance alone, but were it to look just like the previous one, which, as I mentioned earlier, the prior testimony does establish, I would say that it's crack cocaine. He's being careful. And what he's saying is that had he had that physical appearance, he would have said that. We have the physical appearance established, and we have his other testimony about how you know things like that exhibit are crack. To go back for a moment to the gun, he talks about how he keeps the gun for his protection, and the gun is kept at the house. Again, it would do very little good protecting him if it was in a place where he didn't have authority, access, control, that sort of things. In addition, we talked about the mailings that are found in the room. There's three mailings found there. One is a letter from the Social Security Administration, and that's dated just 6 days before defendant's arrest. It's not a piece of junk mail. It's a time-sensitive, personal piece of information that's found right there. Aside from what's found at the defendant's apartment at 3309 West Warren, we also have what's found on the defendant's person. If you'll recall, when the defendant was arrested, he had two sets of keys on him. One were a set of keys to the car he was driving. The other was a set of keys to 3309 West Warren. He's arrested around midnight. He's got one set of house keys on him. Those are the house keys for 3309 West Warren, the place that he said is his address. In short, the evidence established that there was a nexus between the defendant and the contraband in question.
Did he testify, though, that his real residence was elsewhere? I thought he did have an alternative place.
Yes, Your Honor. The defendant did testify and present the jury with an alternative explanation of events, and the jury rejected that explanation.
Including an alternative residence, I thought.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And moreover, on the matter of residence, it is one factor, regardless of whether or not he resided there. He certainly had, you know, authority. He had access to the place. He had the keys. He exercised dominion and control over the over 3309 West Warren. So again, defendant's efforts to the defendant's efforts are basically just he's looking at the jury and questioning their credibility determinations, and it's without merit. In this case, the jury had the chance to evaluate all of the evidence and determine that the defendant did in fact possess the crack and the gun found in the basement apartment in 3309 West Warren, and that he possessed the crack found that he discarded right before his arrest. Again, if you want me to go over real quickly just what we had in terms of the crack, we had, you know, the defendant's own words. He called the drugs his rocks. And as the testimony established at trial, rocks is a reference to crack cocaine. We had the testimony from Calton. Agent Calton is a veteran agent. He's said he's seen crack over 100 times. He was offered to the court as an expert in packaging and identification. And he talks about various different types of information he relies on, including the chemist's report. The chemist's report, you'll remember, refers to both exhibits as freebase cocaine. With respect, just really quickly, to that small statement, the misstatement, it was true that Agent Culleton did misspeak. It was a bad choice of words. It was a mix-up. But it was actually defense counsel, I think, at some point cleared it up. And defense counsel said to Culleton, "But all cocaine base is not crack. Is that correct?" And Culleton answered yes. And the government never made an argument the other way at trial. I mean, it was, again, just a misstatement. Agent Culleton talked about the color, the rock-like appearance, the texture. He talked about how it was harder, so smokable, as opposed to powder cocaine, which he said is softer. He talked about the packaging, as I mentioned earlier. And he talked about the scientific evidence. Again, he said if it was just that physical appearance, if Exhibit 5 hadn't been ground up, he would have said that it was crack cocaine. And there was testimony, the jury heard ample testimony, establishing that it did have the same appearance as the exhibit that was found at the house, 3309 West Warren. The jury properly evaluated the evidence before it, Your Honors, and it came to the conclusion that the defendant was guilty of possessing crack cocaine with the intent to distribute it, and it noted so on the special verdict form. The district court properly denied the defendant's motions for judgment for acquittal and for a new trial. I'm happy to answer any further questions if there are any. The government asks that you affirm both the conviction and the sentence in this case. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Trevitti. You have 3 minutes, Mr. Cade.
Thank you, Your Honor. A couple things I wanted to follow up on, Your Honor. When Ms. Trevitti indicated that Mr. Wyatt, counsel for Mr. Vernell Kelly, cleared it up, it actually didn't clear it up. On page 309 of the transcript, the question was, you said that cocaine, is crack cocaine a form of cocaine base? Answer, yes. Okay, but all cocaine base is not crack cocaine. Is that correct? Correct. So he didn't say you were incorrect saying that that cocaine base is a form of crack cocaine. He said it the correct way. Crack cocaine is a form of cocaine base. So I don't know if that cleared it up for a jury if it's outside the realm to know the difference. The other thing the government indicates is the fact that, you know, he had rocks-like, or they were rock-like in appearance. Well, if I take a few drops of water and I pour it on baking soda, on flour, even on cocaine, it will lump up. Agent Lipsy, or police officer Lipsy, she never said they were the exact same. She said it looked like. She never said it was the exact same. So we have no determination. You're right, Judge Wood, the government was sloppy. They never took a photograph before they crushed the evidence to show the jury, we've got the exact same thing. So how easy is it for a jury to believe that, well, if the government says he's got crack cocaine on his person, and the special agent who's testified hundreds of times saying it's crack cocaine, and he's wrong because he doesn't have true evidence of that, how easy for them to believe, well, if he's slinging rock here, he must be slinging rock there? There is none. And finally, the one point that really gets to me is the fact they're saying, well, he had dominion over the house. No, he had dominion over his daughter. There was no evidence that he actually lived there. He did have another address. He was there every day to take his daughter to daycare, the maternal grandmother. There was no dispute about that. So, in essence, what the government wants you to do is punish Mr. Kelly for being a father, for going every morning and taking his daughter somewhere. I don't think that goes to the point of dominion. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cade. Mr. Cade, you took this case on by appointment of the court. Please accept our deep thanks for your fine work on behalf of your client, and please thank your law firm for having taken it on as well. Our thanks to both counsel in the case, and the case will be taken under advisement.